This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
The Scriptures ask, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, and the stars which you have ordained, I question them. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visited him? Because man dies, he gives up the breath, and then where is he? Or instead, when a man dies, shall he live again? That is the question, to be or not to be. Today's program poses the examination of what is man's purpose, what is his destiny. And if you could understand this bigger picture, the overriding central reason for your life, with that knowledge and understanding of this enormous God-ordained purpose, improve your motivation to become all that you can be? Well then, stay with us as we explore this very important reason for mankind's existence on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Armor of God telecast. Have you ever pondered your existence in the panoply of the world around you? Think about it. The kingdoms of animals, the kingdoms of the heavens, the kingdoms of human beings scattered all over a globe that is infinitesimally small in comparison to the entirety of the universe. It seems to me that we, along with the character created by a man named William Shakespeare, sometimes are in a dilemma about our existence. You know, Billy, I like to call him Billy Shakespeare because you can relate to him a little bit more than William Shakespeare, writing back in the 16th century, wrote plays that were humorous or comedies, and he also wrote tragedies. And we're familiar with the tragedies. The comedies are things like The Taming of the Shrew and Two Gentlemen of Verona, those kinds of things. But the tragedies we all know, Romeo and Juliet, Macbeth, Othello. But there's one called Hamlet, and he puts into the mouth or the being of the character known as Hamlet, the Prince of Denmark, this great Dane, he puts into him a solo. We more properly call it a soliloquy, but soliloquy has been truncated down to the word solo. He's on stage and he's pondering his existence by saying, to be or not to be. He's puzzling about something. If you don't know the story about Hamlet, well, his mother conspired with his uncle to kill Hamlet's father to take over the throne. And so here is Hamlet coming back home and finding this chicanery going on. He is in puzzlement about his own existence, to be or not to be. Now, how does that relate to you and me here in the 21st century? We all have puzzlement from time to time, wonderment about how we came to be. Well, we know biologically how that happens, but why are we here? And especially if we have questions about our beginnings, wonderment about how we got here. Some of us got here through a family, husband and wife, legitimately so. But even in the midst of that, sometimes we wonder if we were really wanted. But especially if we got here through rape, incest, or some other nefarious activity, and lo and behold, you are born into a world. Why are you here? That's what I want to talk about in today's program. It's entitled, To Be or Not to Be? That is the question. Hamlet goes on to suggest whether it's nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or against a sea of trouble take up arms, thus ending the opposition to your existence. That's what he was talking about in that play. If we were talking about it in the 21st century, we wouldn't go through all of that. You would basically say, like the Moody Blues say, they would decide, I am what I am. Sort of like Popeye the Sailor Man. I am what I am. That's all that I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Well, Popeye knew who he was, and especially when he got his spinach. I hope that today's presentation, this program, will give you spinach of life from the Word of God to show you why you exist. There should be no question about whether you should be or not to be. That is not the question. The question is going to be, will you be all that you can be in the plan of Almighty God? Well, I want to tell you today what we're offering you in today's program. The material is quite interesting for you. The sermon is going to be entitled The Bible's Best Story. It's a book about, or a sermon about, the God of salvation. What he did to come into the world through Jesus Christ, for instance, and to make a way available to each of us to be in his kingdom. That's important for you to know. And the literature is entitled, and some of you may already have it, but I hope that if you've not gotten a chance or taken a chance to get it, you will get Man's Awesome Destiny. Now, for everyone out there who want to be politically correct, it means human destiny, not just males, but everybody, male and female. There's a destiny for each of us, and we want you to have this free material by simply dialing 1-888-578-8791. You'll see that on your screen throughout the broadcast. And you can go to our website at www.cgi.org. And on that home page, you can find some links that will lead you to our webcast every Saturday. And just follow the prompts there on the web page to get you to our webcast each Saturday, coming from Tyler, Texas, our home office church. Today's program, To Be or Not to Be. Now, I don't know about you and what your experiences have been, and in order for you to draw you in to where I'm coming from today in this program, I want to tell you that, you know, I was born in 1946. That's a long time ago for some people, and not long enough for me. I'd like to keep counting, if you know what I mean. Well, my mother was a single mother. She and my father, for whatever the reasons, divorced, separated, whatever the case might be. I never recall him coming home, so I could become bitter, could have been bitter about the fact that Daddy didn't come home. Papa was a rolling stone. I think the Temptations sang about that a long time ago, the popular group. And as a result of that, I could say, my daddy didn't love me. I think I'll just sit down and eat worms. I think I'll be miserable because my father did not do his fatherly duty. My mother, on the other hand, born in 1924, never heard her father call her name, never felt his embrace, and as a result of that life, and a mother, by the way, who was about 17, and before she died at the age of 86, confessed to me that she had been raped. And so my mother came into existence through a nefarious activity. My grandmother, my great-grandmother, actually my mother's grandmother, raised my mother because my grandmother was young and full of vim and vigor, was out doing her thing, and so my mother had to count on her grandmother, whom she called Mama, to raise her. Now, I'm saying this thing to you because I know there are many of you out there who have come into existence through questionable circumstances or severe circumstances, We could go through the continent of Africa. We could go through the continent of Asia. We can go into many parts of the world, and people have stories to tell that are horrific as to how they came to be. Well, what does that mean to you and to the Creator who set high and looked low? All we have to go to is the Bible. All we have to do is go to the Bible and see that there are some people who came into existence under questionable circumstances, and God used them anyhow. Didn't matter that they came as a result of incest. There are some of those in the Bible, by the way. It didn't matter that they came into existence, like, for instance, Judah. He goes and marries a Canaanite. You know the story. You can find it in Genesis, the 38th chapter. He marries a Canaanite, has three sons. Two sons are evil. God wipes them out. Judah promises his younger son to his Canaanite daughter-in-law, but he reneges on the promise. And as a result of it, she becomes upset. And many of us become upset when we are mistreated, when we are disrespected, when we are hurt, when things don't go the way we think they ought to go. And as a result of it, she conspired within herself to trick her father-in-law into lying with her sexually and became pregnant with twins. And the line of Jesus Christ goes right back into that relationship. You say, what? Yes, it does. Let me illustrate it more perfectly to you before I turn to the scripture, because there's something in the book of Jeremiah I think you should be aware of. There are many people in the world today who've been adopted. They've been adopted lovingly so because their parents, for whatever the reasons, were not in their lives. And yet they go on to achieve great things, significant things, consequential things as a result of the relationship that they have engendered with their adoptive parents. Well, who are some of these people, you say? Take, for instance, Tom Monahan. Who's Tom Monahan? Well, everybody knows about Domino's Pizza. Well, he's the founder of Domino's Pizza, and he was adopted. He was raised in an orphanage. Well, who else would you say? Well, how about Gerald R. Ford, former president of the United States, All-American football player from the University of Michigan, served for 25 years as a congressman in the Republican Party from western part of Michigan, Grand Rapids area, went on to be appointed vice president under Richard Nixon and ultimately replaced Richard Nixon as president of the United States. He did not let his past define his future. And many of us limit ourselves because we say it's not fair. Things have not gone our way. We didn't ask to be here. And as a result of something that happened, mama made a mistake, daddy didn't care, he's that rolling stone I talked about. Well, let's see what the scripture says about why we exist. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, here's what we find. We find in verse 10 the following statement accredited to Yahweh, the Lord Almighty. For thus says the Lord, that after 70 years, this is a specific statement to the children of Judah who were in captivity under the Babylonians and ultimately transferred over to the Medes and Persians. He tells them, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to be returned to this place, returned to Jerusalem. Well, what are you trying to say to me? Well, some people are hung up on the fact that they are descendants of slaves. White, black, doesn't matter what kind of slaves or where you've come from. They are hung up in the notion that, you know, we came out of slavery. So did the Israelites in your Bible. And God makes a promise to them that as a result of you going through that circumstance, I've got you in my crosshairs. I've got you as the apple of my eye. Verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, you would probably want to suggest to me about now, well, that's fine for the Israelites. That's fine for the children of Judah, but what about me? Well, let's read on and see the sentiment that is expressed here. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken or listen unto you. Verse 13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Are you in a circumstance in which you question your existence like Hamlet did? To be or not to be? He was contemplating suicide, my friends. Things were so bad and so miserable for him that he wanted to confront it by ending his life. Or should he take up arms against a sea of trouble and vanquish them? You know, should I kill my uncle and my mother who did what they did? Many people come to the crossroads of their lives to try to get even with those they think have done them harm. But God here tells the Israelites, or the children of Judah, I know you've been in servitude. I know you've been in captivity, but I haven't forgotten you. I'm not unaware of your situation and circumstance. If you call to me, I will answer, and I will come to you. Verse 14, and I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you again into this place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. God has the ability to make things right. It doesn't matter how you came to be. Take Helen Keller, for instance. Now, many of you may not have heard of Helen Keller, but she was a fantastic woman. She was blind. She was deaf. And it was hard to teach her. You've seen the movie, The Miracle Worker, describing her existence and what a difficult time she had in development. But she came to develop speech and communication despite the fact that she was absent of certain abilities to communicate. Not hearing, not seeing, did not limit her from achieving. You know, some people are just hung up about how they came to be. The fact of the matter is, that's not the most important question. The most important question is, what are you to become? How you came to be really is irrelevant. But what you can become in Christ, in the gospel, is everything to you. Take a look at a passage of scripture back here in the book of 1 John. 1 John, that's an interesting little passage because John here is talking to believers to encourage them on the point of what God plans to do for them. It's quite an awesome promise if you will consider it. Take a look here then at 1 John, the third chapter, beginning in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we believers, and if you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, well, you are called the children of God. It says sons of God in my King James, but it's talking about every gender, if you will, male and female. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Don't be concerned that nobody knows your name. You wonder about how you came to be, why you were here, why you were born, those kinds of questions. But look at this. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every person that has this hope in him purifies himself even as Jesus, he is pure. What? You mean it doesn't matter that my mother didn't love me, my father didn't love me, my siblings ostracized me, I can't get along with the people on the job, the church people ignore me, I can't seem to be the apple of anybody's eye? Well, the Bible tells you that you are the apple of God's eye. He's concerned about you. He's personally involved with you and sent a Savior to the earth to communicate that care and concern to you. You don't have to wonder why you are here or to be puzzled like Hamlet about should you continue your existence, because ultimately there is an existence that is so powerful, so substantial, it will surpass anything that you could think about experiencing in this life. But even in this life, like Gerald Ford, like Tom Monahan, like Helen Keller, you can make achievements in your life and overcome the debilities, the limitations, the ostracism, or whatever you have experienced in your life, because you can hold on to the promise of God through Jesus Christ, and you will have some substantial gifts. Look at what's promised in the book of Revelation. Some powerful statements in the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation. I think you should be encouraged by this, because the fact that we are under the adoption of God, if you will, and the adoption sentence that Paul mentions in his letter to the Romans, if we have time, we'll go back and take a look at that in Romans, the 8th chapter. But the thing there is that God wants to share with you the same things he's sharing with his son, Jesus Christ. Really? Well, how did Jesus come into existence? Do you know that Jesus' existence was questioned by the people of his day? The Pharisees told him in the 8th chapter of John, they said to him in their pomposity, "We be not born of fornication like you." I added the "like you" because that's what they were saying. See, they were whispering about, you know, Mary was pregnant before John married her, Joseph married her. Something was going on, and you know you can't have children in a supernatural way, can you? Jesus had to go through that, questioning his existence. But the beautiful thing is he knew who he was. By the age of 12, he told his parents, "I must be about my Father's business." And for 18 years, we see a curtain fall down on his existence, but he reappears at about the age of 30, transformed into this scintillating preacher, this master teacher, and drew unto him individuals who had their origins and their circumstances and their questions, especially about the Roman domination within that society. Well, take a look here in the book of Revelation to see. And by the way, if it's a red letter edition, you will want to note this. These are things that Jesus is saying. He makes some promises to each one of the seven churches here in the book of Revelation. And you must take these promises personal. He says, for instance, in the second chapter in verse 7, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." What? If you eat of the tree of life, that means you live forever. Eternal life is available for someone who even wonders about why they came into existence or how they came to be. Oh, what else does he promise? To the second church, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." This is verse 11. "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Ooh, the second death is a permanent death. It's an everlasting death from which you cannot return. There's a promise of eternal life. Really? I can live forever? Not in misery, not in scorn, not in puzzlement, not in wonderment? Yes, that's the promise. To the third church, he says this, verse 17, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, saving he that receives it." My mother's name was Minnie. She did not like the name Minnie, because they used to call her back in the day Skinny Minnie. And then Cab Calloway, the old performer, came out with the song Minnie the Moocher. And so she did not like her name, but she came to define the name by being a great mother. In fact, on her tombstone, we have etched these words, "The mother of many," M-A-N-Y, because it was a play on her name. She gave daycare services to parents, single mothers, and so forth, and was able to transform her miserable beginning into a triumphant vamp because she came to know who she was in Christ Jesus. So can you, my friends. Well, there are other promises that we could look at in chapter 3, verse 12. He that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. That's powerful stuff. Promises. Verse 21, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Do you know that your future is greater than your past? And the fact that you question how you came to be, there's an answer to that. The reason you have come into existence, my friend, is to become members of the very family of God. Over in the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter, I don't have time to turn to it because I'm about to run out of time, but it says there that if you have the Spirit of God, then you are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, what has he inherited? He has inherited everything, and he wants to share everything with those who have come to believe him and to understand him and to have a relationship with him, because guess what? You get to share in that also. To be or not to be? Though, no, that's not the question. It's what you shall become. And to help you establish what you are to become, I want to remind you what's available to you as a result of today's program. First of all, the booklet is entitled Man's Awesome Destiny. You have a destiny far above that which limits you in this life. And you can begin the process of moving towards regeneration, moving towards qualifying for that kingdom if you get that booklet. And also, the sermon entitled The Bible's Best Story. It's God's salvation, his salvific act, his stepping into human existence and bringing about transformation through the good news, the gospel. This material, the sermon and the booklet, can be yours simply by calling 1-888-578-8791 or hit us up on our website at www.cgi.org. And when you do, my friends, we will help you secure the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand despite how you came to be in these evil days.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.